Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale. Dungeons & Junkies presents Escape from Ulfa, Episode 5, LB's Bad Day. Last time on Escape from Ulfa, our adventurers were assigned another task by Vicious to retrieve an amulet that had recently been scribed for. They were also introduced to their newest party member, a half-elf ranger, Tam Elm. They then got to visit with a former ally, they thought, but now turned evil shop owner, Knives, who gave them chocobos to ride off outside of town on their way to the Sea of Fog. But at this point, an odd traveler approaches them and is blocking the path. What awaits our adventurers? Will they survive? Well, let's find out what happens to Nunvark, LB, Cal, Damien, and now Tam on Escape from Ulfam.
As you see it turn sideways to block the entire street, you see a cloaked figure kind of dismount from the front of this carriage, and he climbs into said carriage. And you can see a large portion of the carriage pushes out, and he pushes it out. So he puts the stick into this to hold the door that, or the side of the carriage he was pushing out open. And he starts putting out items on this counter he's made for himself. And as you get closer, you do realize that there is a large sign on the side of the carriage that says, "Magical items for sale." And as you get right next to the carriage and your chocobos come to a stop, you see a heavily, robed figure. Most of his face is covered, his hands are all covered. He looks out.
"Why, hello there, strangers. Looking to buy something?"
"Is this the guy from Resident Evil 4?
Maurice!
Do we have any eggs?
I might have an egg back here. I don't know this Maurice fellow you speak of. I've just a humble merchant trying to sell his wares."
"Out of character, that's what I called him. So, that's a Maurice.
Why are you blocking the road?"
"Well, stranger, I might have something that would help you."
"What are you selling?"
With this, you see the robed figure. He you can't see his mouth or anything like that, but his eyes seem to light up as he turns to the left and he grabs five boxes. They're all five equal size boxes, and he puts them out in front of you on the counter.
"See, strangers, I deal in a different sort of magical items, if you will. The magical items I deal in, you don't actually have to pay me for. I'll just require a favor later."
"I'd rather pay."
"What kind of favor?"
"That was a violent question. Thank you, Nunvark."
"I promise the favor will be nothing evil. I'm not an evil man. But in my work and my travels..."
"It's okay, we have one of those."
"Hello."
"In my work and my travels, sometimes I need help acquiring certain things for some of my clientele. And, you see, I was led to you, so I can only imagine eventually you'll need me again, and I'll need you."
"Right, so..." "Okay, so, what's the word? In the immortal words of someone from a long way away, what's the worst that can happen?"
I mean, we're already dead, so I can't say we'll die, but our necks will explode.
These boxes won't upset Vicious, no?
I mean, it's Vicious, everything upsets him.
Yes, I know, but...
With that, you see the merchant kind of, like, he's dropping eaves on you, and he goes,
I've sold Vicious many a time. We've never had an issue, the two of us. I can't imagine we'd start now.
Then I will be happy. Which one's mine?
With that, you see that he actually casts like a little bit of a magic spell as he turns his hand and all five of the boxes raise and they all just present themselves to you. And with that,
he says, the only thing is, you're not going to be able to open them until you need them.
How will we know when we need them?
Oh, you'll know.
Will tell us.
You'll know, sir. You'll know.
Okay, adding to inventory, floating box.
Yeah.
So you all know, these boxes don't seem to have seams on them at all. They are made of, they're solid black boxes, and you can't really tell what they're made of, but it is a material that doesn't seem to be able to be broken or cracked, and you can't find any divots, holes, or anything of the like in these. They seem like solid, just cubes.
So
that's an arcana. An arcana? Yeah, you can do that. Definitely do an arcana check. If everyone wants to do an arcana check here, please roll me a
d20. Damien likes to know what evil magical object he's putting in his pocket.
It's going to be next to my hash browns, so.
It turns your hash browns sentient and they start murdering people. Got it.
Nah.
This is where we get to see how Warlock Noonbark is. 18 minus 2.
Nice. 18.
Minus
two on my end.
Yeah. I got 6.
Cool. Cal, LB.
20.
Arcana.
Why is the bard better at Arcana than you?
15 plus 0.
Well, that aimed at me.
To be fair, I started using them before Cal.
With that, the only people you all notice, because you can't feel anything from it, but you can feel that there is, like, as you touch the box, once again, you can feel that this does belong to you in some way, in some, like, connection that... Whatever is this thing is somehow meant for you. And it is something that you want really badly and that you need.
Bomb defusal manual.
With that though, the traveler, as quick as a whip.
Well, strangers, our deal here is done. I'll call on you when I need you.
Do you have a name?
Just call me the Keeper.
All right, Satan.
But with that, like, amazingly fast, he somehow pulls all the things off of the counters without breaking anything, removes the stick for the door seems to slam but doesn't make a sound, and he is suddenly already on the front of his carriage with the reins in his hand, turning his skeletal horse. And he gives one last,
I love doing business with ya. Look forward to it in the future.
And with that, he gives a crack of the whip, or the crack of the reins, and, like, a fucking Mustang, like, flies down this road. Like, even at the speeds you were going on your chocobos earlier, this dude outdistanced you so quickly that you can't believe that anything inside that cart is still in one piece.
Thank you.
I mean... At least I don't have to levitate the cart out of the way like I was planning to.
Save your spell slots.
But with your interaction... With your interaction with the Keeper now being over, you make the rest of the journey without much of any chicanery or anything happening. And you now find yourselves on the edge of Ganymede. And at the edge of Ganymede, you realize that the road and everything about the land just suddenly stops. There's not a, you know, a bank of sand or anything like that. You're just on the road, and then suddenly there's no more road. And you look out onto the most thick and ridiculous fog you have in your existence. Where this fog is so dense and thick, you can't see an iota through it. And it seems to go on forever as you look down the line of the edge of Ganymede and the horizon of the turn of the island. You can see it's all a wall of fog. And even you hazard a glance to try and glance up a little bit, and you realize that the fog is actually even like blotting out the sky above it. So this wall of fog is as tall, it's once again incalculable how tall it goes as you hazard to look as far up as you can.
Okay.
Please no evil eyeball, please no evil eyeball.
Okay. So we can't see through it. We can't travel. I'm guessing these chocobos can't swim.
As LB is kind of talking to the group and looking about, you notice, LB, that there is a post with a rope hanging from it and a sign next to it stating, pull for service.
I was going to say it's a bit early for that, but okay. I pull on it once or twice from my chocobo saddle.
As LB grasps the rope, pulls down a loud... goes off.
Last time we heard one of these, we went in the fucking cube.
A foghorn goes off. Yeah, sorry, Matt, I could have warned you about that, but I didn't.
Another foghorn.
And as this sound like reverberates through, you can feel it into your bones, like shaking you with how loud this horn is. Immediately in front of you, suddenly appears a fairy. And it is a wooden, rickety looking fairy. But it immediately...
I heard fairy at first.
Hello!
Hello! As you see the fairy, two large wooden planks drop from across, hitting the edge of the road. And you see a floating spirit in pirate garb. Standing on this ferry.
It's week after next session.
Have you got, you still got that amulet thing?
Yes.
We were meant to present it to the ferry.
Oh, of course. Tam digs out the amulet and shows it.
The spirit floats forward and grabs the amulet and looks at it. As he opens it up, which none of you thought to do, you can see on the inside of the face of the amulet, it's not a watch, there is just a glass screen, it looks like, where it's just smoky crystal. And you can't really see anything, except for on this crystal, there is a dot, like near the top, that is blinking. And as the spirit takes the watch, he begins clicking the top of the watch.
I can get you here. Come aboard. I'll get you through the sea of fog.
Can we bring the chocobos?
I have more than enough room for your chocobos.
Cool. Come on, Ginger.
Come on, baby. I just got that. I said that out loud as well. Oh my god, that's terrible.
That's on recording forever.
I wasn't talking to you.
My chocobo, god boyfriend.
I was talking to my mythical golden bird.
Alright.
Nowadays.
So with that, you will all board the ferry. And with that, as you all board the ferry, the spirit grabs the two planks that he threw across and pulls them back onto the ship. And as you board the ferry, you realize that this is the very loosest definition of what a ferry is, where you're pretty sure that the ropes and boards beneath you are being held together by a wing and a prayer more than the actual constructs of the ropes at this point. And you also don't see a mast or a sail or anything of that nature on this. It just seems to be a large square floating bank of boards and pieces of wood, which don't all even match. But you all board said ferry, and you get on there, and the pirate spirit goes to the back where you had moved on and takes one of the planks that he had pulled off, and he somehow connects it to the back of the ferry, like holding it up, and then you feel yourself like start to move forward. And with that, so moving forward in the sea of fog is a very, very disconcerting thing to do, because this fog is so dense and so thick that you can barely see your own party mates on this ship with you. So you can't see out at all into the water. But as you're moving, you can tell that you're moving, but you can't see that you're moving, because the fog all looks the same to you.
So are we just getting horrible motion sickness?
Correct. At this moment, I need you all to roll constitution saving throws to see if you can handle the exact thing that Miss Tam just told us about.
Damien is perfectly fine with not having to look at people for several hours.
I got a 4.
I got a crit 20 plus 3.
I got 18 all
18.
In.
19 all in.
Oh wait, sorry, are we making a saving throw?
Yep.
Okay. So, you click a different button for that. Sorry. Okay, in that case I got an 11.
With that...
Still not good.
I think you're the only one who got below the 15. So with that, Tam begins to fly off the side of their chocobo. The motion sickness, actually, just your ranger skills of always having to know where you are and how to get places, it's even more fucking with you that you can't see anything at all, and you know you're being moved by some sort of force. So you begin to just vomit, like, at a vomiting projectile rate off the side of your chocobo.
I told you not to eat all those hash browns.
Ew, secondhand hash browns.
Hash brown.
Mount Hash Brown has become Lake Hash Brown.
You can see from the back, the pirate spirit looks on. Ooh, me hearties. Not a great feeling for you.
Is there a below decks?
The only thing below us is the terrible seas. I would not suggest you go down there.
Oh, Tam just climbs off the chocobo and just curls up in a corner. And I think the chocobo probably comes and, like, kind of snuggles down next to her and tries to make her feel better.
Damien pokes Tam with a foot to make sure they're not dead.
Piss off!
I cast prestidigitation so they don't smell as sick.
Thank you.
I cast prestidigitation so they do smell as sick.
I cast it. I cast it on you, so you smell as sick.
I cast
can,
it on you!
Can I... Okay. I want to cast deafness on... on Damien.
Come at me!
You're not fucked with, so am I.
Wait. I've got blindness / deafness, so one of us cast one and the other should cast the other.
I'll go with blindness.
Okay, I'll cast deafness.
Are we really doing this?
Okay. Yes! Damien is annoying a person who's very sick. Of course we're doing this.
Nunvark goes to ask LBs, do you ever feel like you're the only sane person here sometimes?
Frequently, every Saturday.
Do I need to roll for this?
Well, I believe that it's actually a saving throw from Damien at this point for blindness and deafness, if I'm not mistaken.
Good.
I also have a backup plan if I fail these rolls, so...
We don't care.
I have so spells.
As you're trying to do this, the two of you casting these spells, your sickness, first of all, doesn't allow you the ability to actually cast the spell properly. As you try and, like, focus on Damien, the world around you spins so hard that you're not sure if there was 2 or 7 or 9 Damiens in front of you on a chocobo.
Everyone's worst nightmare.
Vomiting even harder over the side the ship. And as you are vomiting over the side into the water, you also feel a terrible fear like, grip your heart. You can't see anything. You just feel this fear, like, rip at your soul.
Tam is having a bad day.
Yeah, and you will now make your next two rolls at disadvantage.
Oh. Follow.
But then, Cal, as you try and cast this smell, or the deafness, on Damien, it does work. But the act of having to also move your body and focus on another stationary object, your internal, like, inner balance as a tabaxi is usually so good that this now, like, trying to focus on another non-moving object has now completely fucked you over. And you are now also vomiting on the ship. And also now, Damien, Nunvark and LB, because everything smells like so much sick, and there is so much going on, you can't hold it back anymore. And so at this point, all five of you on this ferry.
I hold my breath.
Can I roll constitution again to at least try to stop the throwing up?
Okay, you can. It's a DC of 25.
I can hold my breath indefinitely.
Yeah, but that you can't hold sick.
That is 22.
Yeah, but if I'm holding my breath not to smell the sick, then I'm fine.
I mean, it's a literal magic smell of sickness, an actual smell of it, and the actual act of two other people now doing it in front of you. So,
Me smell of sick magically.
I hold off as long as I can before I do.
Blindness and deafness work.
You are deaf at this point, but you are not blind, so you can see it. But you are holding your breath indefinitely, so you're kind of just staring at it.
Since I'm being sick, can I just listen through my bird?
Sure.
Or is my bird being sick?
No, your spirit is not affected by any of this, but it does at points begin to start popping down and picking at everyone's sickness, because that's what a bird would do.
I'm just going to use his senses.
I'd like to point out, it ain't lost for a minute.
I'm fine with this.
The pirate spirit on the back looks at all of you idiots in front of him. Did not expect this when my day began. I got the call on the Foghorn.
You neither, mate.
All of us.
I wiped the sick from my beard. Ugh. A sentence I never thought I'd ever say in D&D.
The spirit on the back, he's holding your compass, or the compass that he was handed, goes,
looks like we have about a day's journey ahead of us.
So, at this point, I do offer a service that I can put you to sleep if you'd like, so you don't have to feel this for the rest of the journey.
Can I have that back first?
I apologize, I can't give it back unless you wish to be lost in these fogs of seas.
Okay. Tam would very much like to sleep through this.
Alright, so you're allowing the spirit to put you to sleep, alright?
LB puts his head down back on the Trobo again.
Oh.
Also allowing the spirit to put you to sleep. How about the other three of you? Are you allowing a spirit that you just met to put you to sleep?
Can Nunvark actually be put to sleep since elves don't really sleep?
Cannot, actually. You're right.
Oh, yeah, no, magic can't put me to sleep either. Tam is having the worst day.
Yeah,
Nunvark's just going to kind of zone out and try and keep talking to his mate to take his mind off of it.
I suppose, technically speaking, they have resistance to it, but if you're willing to, then it's different.
It says here, advantage against being charmed and magic can't put you to sleep.
It just can't by default.
Yeah. So Tam's just gonna curl up with a chocobo and suffer. poor Tam.
With that, the pirate spirit does cast sleep on everyone that can go to sleep and is willing. And with that, we're just kind of gonna skip over a little bit of time here.
Damien does actually go to sleep. Because the only way he can sleep is if other people make him. He can't sleep on his own.
Inception style. Okay, but with that, you are all put to sleep. And we're just kind of going to narrate over this little point. Because as you travel, once again, across the Sea of Fog, you You can't see anything. This fog is ridiculous, where it is so dense you can't believe it. But as this day-long trip resolves, our elves can see that it's slowly... Oh, yes, Damien.
Is Damien still scary whilst asleep?
Actually, Damien at this point, while trying to be really scary, so he kept his arms folded, actually slipped back onto the tail of this chocobo. So now an arm is just kind of draped down the side, and it's actually adorable. Like, Damien in his snoring, sleeping state under this spell, like, looks so happy and content. It's actually the happiest that Noonbark has ever seen you in the entire time you've been together.
That's the only time Damien slept in the time you've been together.
Tam is just trying
not to be
sick. Her best to just do anything that will make her feel less sick. She is... It's like the worst hangover you've ever had, but for, like, way too long.
A day.
Yeah.
Does this count as a long rest?
This will count as a short rest, actually, because you're not getting an actual great sleep, and the magic isn't going to allow you to get into the full-on REM sleep, so... It's kind of a short rest.
Oh, do I even get that, though?
We will say that after a good few more hours of motion sickness and vomiting, you did manage to recover enough to get your head together to get yourself into a trance. So I will say that you and Noonbark, actually using their trance, were able to get all of your stuff back.
Okay. Okay, I don't get blindness deafness back because that only recovers at a long rest, but...
No, you had a long rest with your trance.
Oh, okay.
That's what it counts as, so... You only
I don't think I've
hours.
Used anything anyway.
You okay. can try blinding me again, but it's not going to do much.
With
Once
Damien's...
Once blind her with the bird.
How about nobody blinds anybody?
With everybody sleeping, or trancing, or trying to keep themselves from getting sick everywhere... We travel across the Sea of Fog, and as the day-long trip begins to near its end, the fog itself, you can see it is thinning as you're getting closer and closer to something. You can feel that the water that's under you, it's been perfectly calm the whole time, which is also as disconcerting as it is nice for the motion sickness, because you know you're on an ocean of water, so it should be moving a little bit, but it seems to be completely placid, except for the ripples and such that you were putting out from said ferry. But as you arrive upon the island, as you get closer and closer, it actually basically becomes in front of you before you can realize that it's totally there, because the fog suddenly breaks completely, and you find yourself directly at the edge of a beach.
Is this our beach episode?
Damien is not beach body ready.
Tam just kind of flops onto land.
Your chocobos all, like, instinctually know that the journey is over, and if you were asleep on your chocobo, it gracefully kind of hops through the water nicely and takes you to the land. And if you are awake, you can clearly just jump off yourself. But with that, the pirate spirit looks at you all, and he throws the compass back to Tam, which you catch gracefully as your ranger ways would let you.
Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. And he kind of just disappears. And you don't really know how you're going to get back, but he is now, like, the ship, like, vanishes back into the fog quicker than you could imagine. And you are now on a beach. And at this point, you realize that the beach is completely it's just dark. There's no sunlight. The water that you can see in front of you is the color of midnight. And you can't see through it at all, but you can feel the coldness that comes off of it as it keeps washing up onto the shores near you as you stand on this beach.
I have a torch. Should I light that?
I mean, I can
definitely light your torch.
Pardon?
Light it if you want.
I think everyone has night vision. We all have light torches. Let me check. I thought I did, but I want to check.
You definitely do. It's yeah, like well, still checking. Basically everyone does.
Oh yeah, I have dark vision. I'm gonna eat one of my hash brown breakfasts because at Tam, you know, the last lot didn't really do much good. They ended up in the sea. So yeah,
all the gold.
As you eat your hash browns and everyone else kind of collects themselves on the beach, I'm going to say that you all just kind of are looking around at this point. And up the beach, about, I would say, 100 feet, you can see what looks like maybe it was a camp at some point. You can definitely see that there are some man-made objects or creature-made objects that are up the beach a bit.
Hmm.
Okay.
Can we investigate it?
You can. Are you all going to investigate it?
Yes. Sure.
Alright, I need you all to roll me an investigation check then.
Damien just stalks off alone.
Oh, come on! Got 4.
1!
10.
12 all in.
That's 1 plus 0.
Cal.
4.
Oh, real shit.
Okay. Well,
is Matt like the mailman moment? Is he your one just spooked and stuffed his head into the sand?
Wilson!
The three of you who rolled below a 5, all as you approach this campsite, are all just blown away by this intricate way that the like piece of canvas flap is flowing with the wind that's coming from the jungle to your left. And so instead of actually investigating anything, you all three of you just stand out there like, damn, that's really cool.
I use my agility to immediately get to the campsite before the rest of them, even though I was blown away.
So, as the other two of you approach the sheet, you see that Cal's already stand there and mesmerized, kind of like pawing at the air at it. Like, yeah.
I look at the...
Just going at it.
I look at the flap and go, whoa. Bro.
I look at Nunvark and I'm like, can we leave them here?
Is there anything shiny?
You're too engrossed by your sheet right now to notice anything else. But the other two of you, because all you needed was a 6 on this investigation check, the other two of you, as you approach, notice immediately that there are 2 Loxodon corpses that are beyond mangled at this point. They don't look like they were cut in any way. It actually looks like they were torn asunder, if you will, because all the wounds that you see on these bodies, none of them are clean. They're all raggedy. They're all very vicious. You can see sinew and tendons. It's quite disgusting. But the thing you notice most of all about this mangled corpses of these Loxodons is that there is not one drop of blood anywhere. Then, with the amount of death and destruction that was clearly inflicted upon these 10-foot-tall Loxodon bodies that are in front of you, you know that there should be gallons of it everywhere. Basically, the beach should be running red at this moment, but there is nothing. An iota on the ground, on the sand, on the walls, anywhere around you, there is just these 2 mangled corpses in front of you.
So they've been placed here.
You can now make me another investigation check on the bodies if you would like, but only Nunvar and Dean. All the other three of you are out there watching your sheet. And at this point, I imagine Cal has also busted out his guitar and is playing like just like a happy little jaunty amount. It's like to the movie. And sorry, what were your rolls again?
17.
18.
As you look down, you can tell that these bodies were definitely not placed here because the indents of the sand and everything like that, you can tell that they were like thrown about this room, as there's markings of their, like, they have pieces of cloth in their hand from the actual like tent canvas. You can tell that this is definitely where these bodies were killed.
So there's been a kind of cleanup crew.
It's either there was a cleanup crew or whatever killed them likes blood.
Can we really rule out either?
Or maybe both. Maybe it's a very cleanly vampire spawn.
I'm not particularly a fan of vampires.
I mean, neither. I quite like the blood in my body.
As do I.
There was a camp. They said that they found an entranceway to the underground about 2 days north of this camp.
Hmm.
Which means whatever did this is either populating the whole island or chased them from underground.
Hmm.
Because I know there were definitely more than two of them in this party.
In that case, we should probably get more than two of us.
Yeah, let's go break the idiots out of staring at that bit of canvas.
I pocket the canvas.
Of course you did.
I will let you rip down this piece of canvas and fold it up nicely, and you can put it into your inventory. You now
and
have
I cast a prestidigitation on it, so it smells of nothing, just in case it attracts something. You never know, it could smell of blood.
Okay.
I thought we could have probably tracked that, but okay.
So you have now rejoined the other three. The tarp is gone, so both LB and Tam's attention has been brought back in. They're like, oh, what the hell just happened? Why was I staring at that for so long? But I assume... Yeah, exactly. You're both like, you're all three like, holy shit, did you guys see these giant loxodon corpses over here? Like, I can't even believe they're here. But I would assume Damien and Dunvark, you're going to explain what you saw to them. Up to you two.
And no.
Nunvok?
So, how do you all feel about potentially tracking down something that can rip your face off?
Not great, but...
Unfortunately, we don't really have a choice, so...
Oh, yeah, okay. Bomb follows. Yeah. I mean, where do we start? What? Do we know what it is that rip these faces off or not?
No, but I'm sure we'll find out when it jumps out at us.
With you saying that, I actually need you all at this moment to roll me a perception check.
Is Julius with me?
Julius is with you.
25.
Wait, where? I've lost perception. Where?
It's a skill.
Yeah, I mean... Oh, it's that. Sorry, I've lost it for a minute. Go on.
19 plus 4, 23.
13.
18 plus 7, 25.
I got my green dice out today. I'm doing really well.
As you... besides Cal, who is still obsessed with his sheet that he just got, and he's like sniffing it to make sure it doesn't smell like anything else as he's like messing with it in his bag, just totally not paying attention to what the rest of you are doing.
I wrap it around my jumper as like a cape.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
The rest of you, though, here, come to your left, as you all turn your heads to the left, you notice now the giant forest/jungle that is in front of you, that is encompassing the rest of this island. And straight ahead of you, though, you can actually see large, like 10-foot cone that looks like where the other loxodons that were sent here must have gone through the forest. As you're looking, you can see, though, that already that vines and shrubbery and such are already growing back over this hollowed-out tube that is heading forward. But with the perception check also that you all just rolled, you hear not a roar so much as you hear a rumble, like come from deep within the like ground you're standing on. And everything begins to shake for 1 second. as off in the very far distance, you hear a huge explosion of sound. And as you look that way, you dare not look too far up, but as you hazard a glance just above the tree line, you can see off in the far distance, to the northeast, if you will, which you would assume is on one of those horns that you saw on the map earlier. You can see a large mountain that is exploding with lava and magma, and a huge, like, smoke plume cloud is going up, as you see that off in the distance, a massive volcano is exploding at this very moment.
Oh, perfect timing.
I think it waited till we got here.
Probably it does seem that way.
Makes sense.
I'm assuming by that we don't have long to find out what happened to the rest of them and get the amulet.
It would seem that way.
I would like to point out that Tam has natural explorer, so she does better in forests. So that could be helpful here.
With Tam calling out her ranger abilities right there, actually, Tam, you feel with your perception check a different feeling as well. Like, you weren't as worried about that rumble in the ground. You can feel that there are creatures very close to you that are definitely coming for you immediately.
Okay.
Do you want to share that?
Oh yeah. Hang on. Not to worry any of you, but I think there's something in this forest, and I don't think it likes us. We ought to get moving.
I'm in the spirit of getting out of this place, because it does feel a bit of a little creepy.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty good at forests, and this one does not feel nice.
Can I cast Mage Armor?
Actually, before any of you do anything at this moment, I am going to need each and every one of you to make me a dexterity saving throw.
Shit.
Sugar.
Ooh, my luck's turning. That is a 26.
Oh, I got 20. That is a dirty 20.
No pressure on. No pressure on the dwarf with minus one dexterity. Right.
Dirty 20.
The warlocks are good at this.
Warlocks are good.
Warlocks. Dexterity is my best skill.
It's not a natural. It's 2 minus 1.
I love how we've all got 20 or above, and they on.
There is that, like, well, a dirty one.
To be fair, it was a 2, and I got minus 1 dexterity saving throw.
But would that make it a dirty one then?
A dirty one, yes. Which therefore means it's not a critical fail, at least.
With that, everyone besides LB, you feel something, like, touch you. Like, you can't see it at all, but you feel, like, a claw reach out, you feel, and touch your shoulder. But nothing seems to happen. As you all turn around to see behind you, a fairy dragon. And fairy dragons...
Very excited.
Fairy dragons, if you will, are quite tiny. But they look like this.
Oh, nice.
Y'all check that out.
Oh,
okay,
I'm gonna kill it.
Don't you dare!
The color you actually see of this fairy dragon is a very nice shade of violet. And there is one behind each one of you. But LB, it lands, the fairy dragon lands on your shoulder. And as it does so, you feel an odd feeling course through your body. And as you look at your compatriots around you, you suddenly feel that they are growing in size at a massively quick rate. Your thinking that they're giants around you. But as you look at yourself, you realize that you're actually slowly changing and you are shrinking down. And you can feel that your body goes into an all four point stance as you're now on the ground and your hands and feet become hooves. And you like feel yourself, and as you look up at your friends around you, all you can do is meh. As the tiny fairy dragon uses its innate ability as a violet one to cast the ability of polymorph on anyone. So the fairy dragon is now sitting on the shoulder of a sheep that used to be LB. And with that, I will need everyone to roll me for initiative.
Oh.
Even you, sheep boy.
Nine.
Up to an hour? 17
plus
7
is 24.
Cool, we start LBRB.
Carry the 9.
What would you say, Damien?
Sorry. That's alright. 24 for Damien.
Minus 1. 11 minus 1, 10.
LB gets a 10. A 22 for Tam.
Nice.
Sick. This is
Cal.
11.
This is a great encounter for Tam because dragons are her favorite enemy.
Oh my god, so is Rain. And he is a ranger.
Just to make sure, Damien, did you add your extra plus 5 to this with your alert feature?
Yeah, I get plus 7 to initiative now.
I just wanted to make sure. I'm super excited to get like a 27 eventually then.
Yeah.
I'm going first. Alright, hold on, let me roll initiative for all of your fairy dragon foes that are about you.
Oh, I've got 2 dragon hunters, that's great.
That's a lot of dice.
Oh, no. Rain's different campaign.
Oh, right. Then get on.
Sorry, just a little bookkeeping here so I can make sure I keep everything straight. Because there is 6 of these fairy dragons actually floating around. The 5 that you saw immediately as they tried to attack you. And there's actually one that is flying towards all of your chocobos that you left a little bit down the beach, actually.
Ooh, I have a... mine's on up.
Okay, so actually, one of the fairy dragons rolled a nat 20 on that, so it will be going first. And this is the fairy dragon that is closest to Cal. And Cal, this fairy dragon is going to try and use its euphoric breath here. And what I need you to do is make me a wisdom saving throw.
Yes, okay, wisdom, so fingers crossed. 17.
Ooh. Alright, with that, you are going to fail this euphoric breath. And on the start of every one of your turns, I'm going to need you to roll me a d6 before you do anything, and we will talk about what's going to happen here. And this fairy dragon lands on your shoulder. And that'll be its turn. So next we are going to go to Damien.
Did I prep mage armor in time? Yes.
You did not prep it in time. I will let you cast mage armor. And I would let you take a physical attack if you want. But
yeah.
I will not. You can definitely do that then. So if you like cast mage armor and take a physical attack on the dragon that is closest to you, you can do so if you would like.
Yeah, so I'm going to cast Mage Armor, which moves my... I'm going to touch... Damien's going to tap himself on the shoulder. And my AC becomes... 13 plus 2, so I go up to 15 armor class instead of 13. Because I be squishy, please no. And I would like to take one of my daggers and try and stab one of these dragons in the eye.
Alright, there is the dragon that was closest to you who could try and polymorph you. So you are looking to be an armor class of 15.
I'm not a sheep. 12 plus 4.
So that is a hit, so roll me damage.
I mean, it's not very much, it's just a dagger. 3!
Alright, so the dragon that is right there, as you touch your chest to catch the mage armor, at the same moment you also whip out your dagger and stab the little bastard right in the eye, and it kind of squawks at you as it flutters backwards on its fairy wings, taking those 3 points of damage. All right. Next, then, we will go to Tam.
Can I, like, try and talk to one of them? Will that take up my turn?
Okay. Roll me, because dragons are your favorite type.
Yeah, and I can speak Draconic.
Okay, roll me a d4 real quick, and tell me what you get.
Okay. That is a 2.
Alright, you try to speak to these dragons in Draconic, but you don't get any from them verbally at all. A couple of them do look over at you, and they kind of cock their heads at you as they're flying, like, in the air and fluttering. But they just kind of stop, like, stare, and as they cock their heads, they suddenly just and roar at you, because feeling that you have, like, an innate hostility towards them, they can feel that with their innate psychic abilities. So they know you want to kill them and can feel that from you. So, and now I will let you take a action if you would like.
Okay. I'm assuming I've noticed the one that's going for the chocobos.
Oh yeah.
Can I try and shoot it? I have a longbow.
Oh yeah, definitely. I am gonna say because of its size and its quickness. That it is going to be an AC of 17 to shoot this fairy dragon out of the air with your longbow.
I'm gonna try it.
All right, go ahead.
It's a DC of 23.
Okay, that is a definite hit on that. So roll me damage.
That is 5.
Tam... sheathes an arrow from, or unsheathes an arrow from her quiver and yanks back the longbow, sending one just shooting across the sky. It nicks the dragon's wing as it's trying to fly, sending it like off kilter a little bit. And instead of continuing towards the chocobos, it makes a U-turn as it turns back to once again start coming back towards all of you. But it will take those 5 points of damage.
Cool.
Alright, next we will then go to, because the rest of these fairy dragons rolled like shit, going to Cal next.
I have to roll a d6 first, don't I?
Yes, you do. Nope, you have to roll a d6 before you do anything.
3.
Hold on 1 second. With a 3, and because you were hit with this euphoric breath from the fairy dragon that is now riding on your shoulder... you are not allowed to take any action or bonus action, and you use all of your movement to move in a random direction, which I am going to roll a d4 right now, and a 1 is north, a 2 is east, 3 south, 4 west. And that's...
Can I add feline agility to that random movement?
If you would like to, yeah, you can definitely move as far as you want.
I'm going to do that. So 70 feet then.
Okay. That is a 2. So you are going to, for no reason, start sprinting east, just down this beach, away from everyone, as this fairy dragon on your shoulder, like, claws dug in as you're, like, sprinting with your tabaxi, like, speed down the beach, away from everything. You are now 70 feet away from the rest of the party, and are just standing there, and you're not really sure why you just did what you did at all. But next we'll go to LB, who is currently sheep.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Meh. Meh.
Well, it's a really bad day for you.
Inspiration.
Right.
Yeah.
So, what is this sheep for? Can I reach any of the fairy dragons or not?
The fairy dragon that is on your back is your sheep neck does not work in that way. And so, no, you wouldn't be able to reach any of them. I will allow you at disadvantage to roll me to try and turn back into a dwarf, basically praying to your god to fix this for you. Your rolling it, though, will be at disadvantage, and you will need a 19 or higher.
Okay. I've got nothing else I can do apart from try and roll my back,
basically. And this will be wisdom, so you can add your wisdom modifier to your roll.
Okay, glad you said that. That's a 19.
A 19 even, altogether?
Another 19!
Wow, alright.
Can I'm keeping these dice.
With that, the you in sheep form just start meh, 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 meh. And suddenly a beam of light from the absolute darkness of the sky just appears and shines on you as a sheep. And you feel yourself, like, everything start to come back into order as you stand back up. And I mean, you're not very big, but you do stand back to your fullest height, like chest out, like proud, and your like hand with your holy sigil holding up to the sky as you turn back into a dwarf and the light disappears.
Is it bad that when you said that I imagined space the final frontier, but as a sheep?
Exactly what I was going for. Okay, well, LB, that is all I'm going to allow you to do on this turn.
Can I use movement or not?
You cannot use anything right now because you're still pretty disoriented from being a sheep and the fact that your body was just transmuted back into dwarven form by a beam of light that came out of nowhere. You're pretty fucking disoriented right now.
Damien is
still
laughing.
Can't blame a guy for trying.
Cannot. But once again, as I said, these fairy dragons rolled like garbage, so we are going to pop over to Nunvark.
I'm assuming I'm within 60 feet of the one closest to me.
Oh yeah, you're within 10 feet. Or you're, like, basically it flew back a little bit after it could not polymorph you, so it's at most 10 feet away from you, kind of fluttering in front of you.
Okay, I'd like to use my Ray of Frost cantrip.
Fantastic. That is, I do believe, a ranged attack spell, so you are looking to beat a 15 for an armor class.
Okay. That is a 16.
16 will hit, so roll me the damage for the Ray of Frost.
Okay. Let me see if I can make sure I've got the right dice. That is a 4 damage. And its speed is now reduced by 10 feet until the start of my next turn.
Okay. 4 damage. And it's... Okay. Alright, well, with that, we are now back to the fairy dragons. And we will go to the fairy dragon that is now closest to Tam. Right, yes. And it will go to bite Tam in the face. What is your armor class, Tam?
15.
That is exactly a 15, so that will hit. And you will take... with that, the fairy dragon swoops in and with its like tiny mouth actually rips out a piece of your cheek. And you will take 9 points of damage as it flies by and chomps on the meat of your cheek and blood kind of trickles down the side of your face.
Ow.
But then next we will go to the dragon who is on, who turned LB into a sheep to begin with. And LB, your armor class is really high. It's like 17 or 18.
Armor class, 10.
What? Armor class is not 10.
It's what it says on my thing, but it's not. Where's my actual old character sheet gone?
I was going to say, it's like an 18.
Yeah. Well, we'll say because of your confusion, it's a 17 for right now.
LB. Come on, Matt. Too many kill sheets to help. LB's 18, sorry. Yeah. I'm going to adjust that.
That's fine, because I rolled a 18 and plus my modifier for it. So, you, with the dragon that you... It was in the beam of light, so it was pretty freaking confused there for a second. Nothing actually happened to this dragon from this beam of light, but it is still on your shoulder. And this dragon actually digs its teeth into your neck, like, over the top of your armor. Like, it digs really deep into there, seemingly trying to go for the trachea. And you are going to take 12 points of damage from this, as these fairy dragon's teeth are hella sharp, and it is trying its best right now to burrow its way into your neck.
12 points of damage. Taken.
Alright, so next we will go to the fairy dragon in front of Damien, who Damien already hit for some damage. And this one will, let's see, it's actually going to try and use its euphoria breath on you, Damien, so I will need you to roll me a wisdom saving throw.
Huh, I'm good at those. Oh, that's a crit 20, plus 3.
Okay, with that, from the fairy dragon's mouth, like, just, like, rays of, like, rainbow fog, like, pour out of it and over Damien, but Damien's inner anger just makes it all, like, turn to, like, storm clouds, and just, like, the rainbow colors dissipate into just dark, angry lightning as this, like, breath of the dragon, of the fairy dragon, like, swoops its... It's very confused by this whole situation. Like, it's never seen this happen before. We will now go to the fairy dragon that is on Cal's shoulder. And Cal, what is your armor class?
16.
That is another hit. They might have rolled crappy for initiative, but they are coming at you with these fangs. You, Cal, with your confusion, just standing like 70 feet away on the beach, staring off into nothing, you are going to take 9 points of damage. But with these 9 points of damage, as it like bites onto your tabaxi ear and rips a chunk out of it, this kind of brings you back to the real fucking world, and you're like, why the fuck am I out here, and why is this thing on my shoulder? And so you no longer will have to roll that d6 at the beginning of your turn. Alright, we're going to the last fairy dragon who hasn't acted yet. And this is the one who would be closest. Which one who hasn't attacked yet? Carry, right?
Yeah.
Yep, Nunvar. So this one, it's still close enough to try and hit you with its euphoric breath. Nunvard. So I will need you to make a wisdom saving throw real quickly for me.
Come on.
Make it sad.
That is a dirty 20.
Yes, make it sad.
The rainbow fog pours out of this fairy dragon's mouth as well. And as it hits Nunvard, Nunvard actually seems to like control the fog around it and somehow like highlights and makes it look like he has like sections around him of his like, you know, different poses and such. It's almost like we're in Zoolander right now and Nunvard is just like popping off like different facial poses. And once again, the fairy dragon just kind of laughs there confusedly like, what the fuck is wrong with these people?
You know my
what is wrong with these warlocks? I find these warlocks fucking die.
But now we're all the way back around to our...
Oh. Oh no, wait, never mind. My bad. Because it didn't actually hit me, did it?
No, it didn't actually hit you.
so
Alex, with...
What about you? Don't you have a reaction? Didn't you have a reaction?
Well, he did not get a reaction because his reaction was basically coming out of the spell that was putting him under, so he would not be able to attack until his...
I have a reaction, do I?
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Because I just remembered it because you tried to use it on me earlier. Yeah.
What was that? Because I didn't even realize I had a reaction of anything. Like,
oh, you just stop you. Just don't worry about it. It'll be your turn in a minute, and then you can punch the dragon. That's on
you. You might be thinking of Dakota. I don't have that reaction.
Why did you say it earlier?
No, I didn't.
I think that was a different time. But okay, we're back to around the initiative order to the top of the order. So we are back to the original fairy dragon, who originally cast the euphoric breath on Cal. So he is on your shoulder. Oh, he already attacked you. I'm sorry. We're actually back to the one that's near LB. Whatever. This one is going to attack LB because it is pissed off that, you know, there was a sheep there that it could have eaten, and now a dwarf is there, and sheep are their favorite. So it will go to attack LB. It will miss. So this one swoops in and it tries to bite through the metal plating you have in your armor. Not really understanding what the concept of armor is. So it's kind of tinging off of your chest as it is though hanging on you. So you now do have two fairy dragons on you, LB. But with that, we are back to Damien.
Okay. Let's go to my page of nightmares. Gotta start with the one that just tried to make me happy, because that's illegal.
Okay.
And I'm gonna toll the dead. Standard ding dong time.
Ding dong, the witch is dead. Alright, and that is what kind of saving throw again?
Wisdom. Beat a 14.
That is a 12 plus 1, so that's only a 13. So roll me damage, please.
And that's the one I stab, yes?
Yes.
Aha, d12. That is 7 hit points.
Alright. With that... the fairy dragon, you can see... as you reach your hand out and summon the bells to be inside the little tiny head of this fairy dragon, you can see that its wings flutter in like an almost awkward flight as like the, you know, bells actually reverberate through it. And you can tell that this one, it's not quite dead, but its wing flapping now is very weak and like it's barely trying to keep itself in the air as it stares at Damien and gets a... like it tries to roar, but it's like losing all sense of ability to do anything.
Yeah, try me a bit.
With that though, we are back to Tam.
Okay. Let's see, hang on. Let's see. What? Is there one close to me?
Yep, there's still...
oh yeah, there's the one that bit me in the face.
Right,
I want
to go flat right there.
I would like to stab it.
All right. What are you stabbing it with? And you are looking to beat an armor class of 15.
I have got a dagger. And I'm gonna roll that.
And you do roll this with advantage, as you are strong against these dragons, so you know how to skewer a dragon, if you will.
So what does advantage do?
It means you get to roll 2d20s and take the higher of the two to try and hit.
Okay. Ooh! Ooh! Oh, that second roll was a 24.
Awesome. With that and your ability to know dragons so well, I am going to say roll me a d12 right now, and whatever you get, then add 4 to it.
Okay. That will be 13.
Awesome. Okay, with that, you stare at this dragon that just bit you. Your rage is just incalculable. Because you're like, little fucker, I know what you are, and I know what to do to you. You reach into your sheath, you unsheath the dagger, and in one smooth motion, skewer the fairy dragon from its bottom of its mouth all the way through the top of its head, and it just slumps over on your dagger, completely dead, as it then just kind of cleaves itself from the weight of its own body and falls to the ground, dead in front of you. You killed one of the fairy dragons with that dagger right there.
Is there another one within 5 feet of this fairy dragon?
You know, maybe not, but I'm going to say the one that was going after the chocobos would have now reached close enough that you can try and take another attack at this one.
I have Hordebreaker.
I will allow you to use Hordebreaker, and you can try and attack this other dragon, once again, at advantage.
Okay, so with the dagger. Yep. So let's roll.
The dancing kitten approves.
Huh. Okay, so that's 16 to hit.
16 does hit. I will only let you roll me a d8 on this one, though.
Okay, because my normal damage is 1d4 plus 4, so yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm going to say you get to double your damage because you are going against an enemy capable against.
Ooh. That is 5 plus whatever.
So we'll say another 5 plus 4 for 9 points of damage. You actually, as you turn at this other flying dragon that's coming towards you, after you skewer this first one, like a fucking ninja, you drop the knife and catch it so that the knife is now backwards, and in one motion just stab straight backwards, catching this dragon that was flying directly at you, straight through the mouth, and once again out the back of its head as it slumps over your knife, and then by the way of its body slides off your dagger onto the beach below as you kill a second of the fairy dragons.
Oh, I am a god.
Okay, we can keep this one.
Oh, this is my favorite first session ever. Possibly aside from that one where I killed like 30 people. Never mind.
With that, though,
I'll tell you about Scott another time.
That will end Tam's turn, and we will go now back to Cal.
So little fucker's on my shoulder.
Yep, it's only you and this little fucker. You're about 70 feet away from everyone else. And by about, I mean you are 70 feet away from everyone else down the beach.
Let's see what's... okay, I'm going to throw him off my shoulder and... You know, fuck it. I'm going to cast second level Thunder Wave on him. As I throw him off my shoulder.
Awesome. So you chuck him off your shoulder. What is that? Do I need to? Is that an attack spell, or do I need to save?
I think it's a dex save.
Okay. All right.
No, it's a Constitution save.
Ooh, that's good for you because these fairy dragons are very dexterous. So bit of a dex save.
15.
15. All right.
So I will allow you to take half damage if you succeed.
Okay, well, I got a 6 plus 1, so I got a 7. So I definitely failed, so roll me damage.
Let's see, 3, 6, and 8.
8 all day?
17.
17 all day, okay, cool. So with that, you rip the little bastard off of your shoulder as he had taken a bite out of your ear. You throw him into the air and he kind of catches himself. But you as quickly whip your guitar around in front of you and just hit a massive power chord as thunder and electricity fires from your guitar, hitting this little fairy dragon from all sides. And it looks like a cartoon where when you get hit with electricity, you can see the inside and it's a perfect x-ray, because this fairy dragon is electrified to hell and falls to the ground out of the air, baked and smoking as it is now dead on the beach from your tremendous power cord displayed in front of it.
Nice. That is a sunglasses down moment.
Okay.
Damien applauds.
With that, Cal, I will allow you, if you want to take a bonus action, to head back towards the rest of the party. I can only get about... You can get almost all the way there.
Alright, so, yeah. What feline agility I have left, I go back.
Okay. Fantastic. That will bring us then back to LB, who has the last of the two fairy dragons on him at this moment.
Wait a minute, what happened to the one I was fighting?
Oh, well, that's the one that flew over to attack LB.
Yeah, there's the one that's barely living next to me, and there's the two that are on LB.
Oh, I forgot, there's three. I'm sorry. I missed one of
my one's basically dead, it's fine.
Yeah.
I've killed two. Yes, we know.
Okay, but it is LB's turn, with two of them on him, and one, the last one, over by Damien. You could get to, I mean, you can do whatever you want.
You beat them.
Are they on me, Chad?
Yes, the one is on your shoulder, and still kind of burrowing in your neck with its jaws, and the other one is hanging on the front of your armor on your breastplate.
Okay, am I able to throw them clear and then cast Scorching Ray?
What is your... I will allow you to throw them both. You are going to take an additional 6 points of damage, though, from the one that is burrowing into your neck. You'll take 6 points of damage, but you can grab them both and toss them up in the air in front of you.
Okay, and I'll cast Scorching Ray, which is a level 2 spell. Three rays of fire, which I can target at three different targets, and I target at all three that are still alive.
Okay,
Range spell attack for each ray. On a hit, the target takes 2d6 fire damage.
Okay, well, with that, then you are rolling to beat a 15 for the armor class.
Okay, so the two in front of me are doing first. That's a one, so that's no. 16.
Okay,
and another one. Another one is a 14. Am I adding anything to that?
Yeah, your
spellcasting ability, usually. Spellcasting ability is a plus 6.
Oh, wow. So the 2 second ones definitely hit, the critical one does not. So you can roll me damage. For the one that is near Damien and one of them that you threw into the air. The second one that you threw into the air, actually quickly, like, catches its flight and easily, like, kind of flies out of the way of these rays of magic you are flying, are shooting out of your hands.
Okay, so the rays that hit, you've got a 6 and a 4, and the other one is a 4 and a 3.
Okay.
So, 10 and 7.
With that, the two scorching rays that hit the fairy dragons, the one that's in front of Damien is cooked like a baked chicken immediately, and just falls like to the beach, smoldering.
I fought like a Hadouken.
Hadouken. And then the one that you hit out of midair that's in front of you, it you can see that it tries to, like, fight it off. It's like trying to fan the flames off of it, but in doing so with its wings actually produces more fire upon it and actually ends up burning itself out like a phoenix. So instead of it like falling to the ground, it just kind of turns itself to ash as it comes to the ground. Like, because it was flapping so quickly and hard that it actually ended up burning itself out.
The eye of a dragon burning itself to death.
Okay, but that is two more dead, which means we are down to our last fairy dragon who is flying through the air, and that takes us back to Nunvark.
I'm going to use Eldritch Blast on the last one.
Classic.
classic. You know what? Because this dragon in this turn has already basically used its reactionary movement to try or to dodge the other piece of magic that was flying through the air at it, I will say that as you raise your hand, you're basically catching it on its backswing of this flight, so you can just roll me damage right away. I hit it.
Ooh. Let's go, lucky pink dice.
The D10 as well, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah. What's a zero? Oh.
That's a 10.
That's a 10.
Alright. And what exactly does your Elder's Blast look like? Because it does take the form like of something from your patron. Color, style.
That's an interesting question.
Damien's is black lightning that comes out of his hand that roasts things.
Yeah,
honestly,
black soul is lightning.
It takes the same color as something related to your patron, does it?
My patron has one. I'm sorry, pause for a second, let me Google this quickly.
Well, if you want, like, it could just be like you fire a like prismatic beam out of your hand. And actually, with your patron, I kind of like that. So if you're cool with that, I think that's what we should go with.
I think I'll go with that then.
So as you fire this prismatic beam out of your hand at this dragon, it just rocks this dragon square in the chest, and the dragon, who was so gracefully dodging that scorching ray, as it gets hit. Like, literally just kind of falls to the ground because the force of the blast hits it so squarely. And it lands on the ground. And you can see that it's not dead, but one of its wings is barely... Like, one of its wings is not moving at all, and it's, like, kind of hopping on the ground trying to take flight with only one of its wings working.
Oh, no. Somebody stomp on the forefoot quickly.
I crush its skull under my foot.
With that is actually the last fairy dragon's turn because it goes back to the top of the initiative order. And this is the dragon that rolled a 20. So it has just survived along the way. It kind of looks up at Damien, and or I mean, it looks up at Nunvark, who just blasted it with the Eldritch Blast. And you can see like a sadness as it just suddenly, out of your a blink of the eye, it goes invisible and you can't see it anymore. And you can hear and you see little like prints in the sand as it skitters off into the jungle.
Oh, I wanted to murder it.
But with that, that will end your combat and you will exit out of initiative.
You took damage because I have lots of spell slots I can cast cure wounds.
I have a bleeding face.
Was that everybody but the warlocks again?
Yeah.
I'm claiming that as a band name.
Everything but the warlocks. I'm gonna class.
I have that. Cure wounds, but I don't know if I can use that on myself.
Yeah, you can.
Okay. I'll take the spell.
I'll
take someone else's spell.
So I'm happy to use it.
Sure.
How much damage do you take, Ilby? Actually, you can heal yourself. You're fine.
At this moment, I need you all to actually roll me another perception check real quick.
Does my cure wounds go before?
You're not going to need it if you're real meta. Just roll perception check real quick.
11.
Perception.
I also realized something. The whole point of my pact to the Raven Queen is Julius can act in combat.
Huh.
He has his own attack. He is separate to me, but I forgot that he can do that.
Dirty 23.
I'm going to be 100% honest with you, Caitlin. I've known that the whole time, and I've been waiting for you to use Julius in combat and like roll initiative for him. Well, I write down Julius every time.
I don't want him to get hurt. He has, like, Ethel health.
I keep forgetting to add my proficiency bonus to things. So that's 18.
22.
Oh, proficiency. Okay, that's actually...
I literally forget this in every episode of every campaign.
I get to stuff I'm not proficient in, I can add half my bonus to.
I don't have any proficiency. I don't get proficiency for perception, which is annoying because like I'm in a forest. I know what forests are like, but I just
jungle. You're not technically in the forest. We're still technically on the beach at this moment.
Oh right, fair enough.
Does anyone roll below a 5?
No.
No.
Fantastic.
Ethan, I didn't.
You all then, as you're kind of talking to each other over the fact if anyone needs healing or anything like that, the volcano that you saw erupt earlier, you can hear kind of the explosions like die off. And as you hazard a guess over in that direction, you can see that the smoke cloud is kind of dissipating and that this volcano has probably stopped erupting at this moment. And with the volcano stopping eruption, though, under your feet, the ground gives a very different kind of shudder. And off in the very, very far distance, you hear the sound of what can only be described as thousands of creatures where it sounds like a combination of screams just coming from the deepest parts of the jungle. But no scream is identifiable, but you can tell there's thousands of different like voices in this scream.
I vote we go towards that.
Before we do go quickly though, because I won't use a spell slot because I forgot I had it, I will use Song of Rest. So I make a performance and everyone gets healed with an extra d6.
Well, we will start the next session with that. Yeah. Because with hearing this sound, that will wrap up episode of Escape from Wolfhall.
Woo!
Very nicely done, Chad.
As I call it, Damien's angry holiday.
Absolutely. So, thank you very much to Chad for doing such an amazing job again at DM and putting up with all our shit as usual. time to go around the table and do our spiels. Caitlin, you're up first this time.
Aren't I always? I'm Caitlin. I'm at CaitlinRC on Twitter if you want to just chat to me normally. If you want to follow my work or listen to my campaign that I'm running for these lovely lot, my work can be found at themindgame.org or at ourmindgames on Twitter, where I talk about video games and mental health, and now D&D.
Always a good time. Always a good time. Ailey.
Hi, I'm Ailey. Just usually, you can find me at Space on most social media, and I create a gothic horror webcomic called Lady Changeling, which just Google and you'll find it. It's been very nice playing today.
Miss Cherry.
I am Shira Beans on Twitter and Instagram. It's still quite quiet over there, but I'm slowly getting back into all my hobbies, like art and that type of thing. And I will probably start posting D&D things at some point.
Excellent. Always a good time. And Mr. Alexander.
Of course, mine is Spiderbread UK. It's always been. You can find mine and Matt's work at Game Junkies Pod, and you can find this collection of madness at Dungeon Junkies.
You can indeed. You can find me at the Matt.UK, and you can obviously as well listen to all of Chad's rambling. What are all of yours, Chad?
I wondered if you were going to forget about me. But yes,
contractually, he can't forget about you.
Yes,
contractually, if I've forgotten about this thing, gets the axe. But I am Chad, and of course, you can find me on Twitter at Chad's_mind or at View From Top Rope. If you'd like to listen to my insane ramblings, you can check me out every Wednesday on Visionaries Global Media with the Chatterbox, and also every Thursday where I am joined by my co-host Diesel and whoever our mystery invader of the week is for View from the Top Rope on Thursdays. And very, very soon, we will be starting Visionaries Global Media's first game show, So You're So Smart.
Which I'm going to win. We'll try to anyway. Thank you as always, guys, for listening. We thank you for support. We thank you for listening. We thank you for tolerating. Thank you to Kerry, to Caitlin, to Ailey, to Chad, to Alex. And on behalf of us all, I'm Matt.
And I'm Alex.
And we're out of here.
And you forgot our sponsor.
And a thank you to Triumph Chairs. Use Fantastic the game code GAMEJUNKIES to get a discount. Chairs are awesome. You need a chair to put your fat butt in.
One. Disclaimer, you may not have a fat butt, but chairs are still good.
We're out of here.
This podcast was brought to you by me, Chad, in conjunction with Visionaries Global Media and Mad Attack Productions.